And I actually witnessed it burn a chicken's leg off one time. Live chicken.
Give me that. I gotta have it. You can't just give me a chicken leg off. Tell me this story.
Yeah, well.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Hayden Alabama Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Jim.
It's springtime and most people are thinking about planting, farming, rural life. It's just a big part of who we are and what we do. And so today we got some stories about farming, some stories about cattle. Shane, you got a good one you want to kick off with.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about cattle to start with, and I said, hey, let's tell these folks about how cows would rather die than they had live. I mean, it's like they're bred to want to do something to end their life. And the other day I saw a Facebook page, a post, and the guy, he's showing a picture of his prize bull out there, and he has his head rammed through a gate. Like how he got his head through a gate, I have no idea, but it reminded me of a story. When I was a kid, my uncle raised cows out here by the house, and he had a big old Charolais bull. And this thing was a beast. You know, Charolais, big bone, heavy, and he was going to get new blood. You know, from time to time, you got to get new blood in your herd. Well, we're going to catch him up there in the upper pasture. We're going to catch him. And my uncle, if you knew anything about my Uncle Hubert, he did things on a budget, we'd say, right?
Like most farmers.
Yeah, let's just say that's like most farmers. On a budget, he's going to catch it. He's got a bumper pull cattle trailer. He's rigged up some catch panels, and they weren't the high dollar heavy panels. It was the budget panels. And he's put them in a U shape around that. And this Charolais bull for the most part was a calm, as good as you can be for a Charolais bull, calm bull. And he'd bucket feed him. You know, he would follow him around with a bucket. Well, he got him in that catch panel with the feed bucket. We lock him up. And I'm 8, maybe 9 years old, and I'm more watching than I'm doing helping.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm on the side of the cattle trailer, you know, looking and watching my uncle and my dad and his brother are there helping. And they go to try to push him into this trailer. Well, now the bull has gotten a little suspicious. I'm getting locked up. I'm getting a little bit close, and I'm not near as comfortable as I was out there in this 40-acre pasture. So they start pushing him in the trailer, and he's getting a little bit more agitated. Well, along the lines of getting agitated, my uncle as well, a little more agitated. Why ain't you going on the trailer? All you got to do is step on. And if you know anything about cattle, they don't like to step up onto anything. If they can walk, no big deal. But if you got you a 12-inch step, you might as well be a mountain, you know, that they got to jump off of. So he'd go up that trailer, and they'd smack him on the back with a pole, one of the sorting poles, and he'd turn around and look at him like, boys, I ain't going on that trailer. 3 or 4 times, back and around. And the more agitated. The last time the bull said, I'm done. And he turned around and he come just towards the end of that U. And he put his head underneath that cattle panel and he picks it up. And it gets, you know, when bulls stand up, when they got the shoulders right here, and it caught him across the middle of their shoulders. And he took off towards the creek just in a dead sprint. When he did, it just snaps the ropes because we had the panels tied to the cattle trailer. Snaps the rope. He takes 10 panels to the creek, just a steady run. Well, he can't get them off of him. He's trying to get them off. The cattle panels, they're just following behind him.
Jingling along.
Just like a train.
We call that making a necklace.
And he sure did. He hits the creek. When he hits the creek, the whole panels, you know, just up in a U, and then these panels are bolted together or pinned together. Well, they just collapse on top of him. And in my year old mind, I'm thinking, what is going on? Like, this is insanity. I of course thought, well, he's dead. He's a goner. He's not making it up. He's broke every leg that he's got. He just stands up, shakes a little, you know, and starts bellowing, calling all his girlfriends back up. It's like, I told y'all I wasn't going to leave in this place.
Look what I done.
He wasn't leaving his girlfriends, buddy.
I tell people all the time, when you go by a nice, quiet pasture and the cows are laying out there in the shade or in the trees, they're plotting. They're trying to figure out how to mess with the farmer.
Mess with the farmer. Yeah.
That's their MO.
That's right.
This is the time of year when they'll do it. When the grass is greening up, mm-hmm. the calves get a little frisky and they look around and say, the other side of the fence looks better. And they'll find the smallest hole that they can look for and go through that hole. And mine, when they go through the hole, do they stay on the other side and eat the grass? Oh, no. They got to go across the highway. And then the police give me a call and say, cow's out again.
This is the time of the year, you know, where the grass really is greener on the other side of the fence. And it's greenest of all next to a highway.
Yeah.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
I think every kid should have to learn the electric fence lesson. I know I learned mine. Do y'all remember y'all?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Well, tell us about it. Tell me about your electric fence lesson, because I guarantee you got one.
Well, I grew up with electric fence, and sometimes back in those days, and I'm pretty old now, the voltage wasn't quite right on those fences. It was pretty powerful. And I actually witnessed it burn a chicken's leg off one time. Live chicken.
Ho, 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 give me that. I got to have it. You can't just give me a chicken leg off. Tell me this story.
Yeah, well, we were up at my great uncle's house, and he was widely known as a guy who made white lightning. But he was, you know, it was very rural. They didn't even have indoor plumbing when I was a kid. And we were up there playing, and he had a hot wire, electric wire around his hog pen.
Yes. Got to keep the hog in.
Yeah. And we were just sitting, you know, we were playing. And I just happened to notice this chicken walked up and touched that wire, and it must have been like 220 volts.
He hooked the other leg up.
You could see the smoke come off of it.
I mean, it literally just cauterized it.
Yeah, and, you know, they didn't have breakers and fuses. That, you know,
it just kept cooking.
That's right. It just hung on to him, and I never will forget it. Very memorable.
Did the chicken live?
The chicken was Sunday dinner.
Oh, you went ahead and finished frying him up.
We ain't gonna have no one-legged chicken. We're gonna eat him.
That's incredible. That's scary.
Yeah.
That is scary.
Man, but, you know, a few years ago, I went up to a guy's place up in Holly Pond. Back then, I had registered Herefords, and he had a nice Hereford cow that I wanted to look at. And we're walking on a summer morning. It was real early and real heavy dew on the grass. And we're walking along. We came to a couple of strands of barbed wire in the middle of a pasture. And I didn't even think about it. I reached down and grabbed that. About the time he said, don't, I touched the wire and my feet were wet. And that thing lit me up. I don't ever touch any kind of metal fence now.
That'll teach you, boy.
That'll rattle your teeth. You know, I had a bull that was getting out one time pretty regular. My brother taught me a trick about keeping them in. He said, you get you a McDonald's sack, and every time he gets close to the fence, you shake that sack at him.
Threat. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Now
put your hamburger in there and just shake the hamburger around.
Well, there's something about kids and electric fences, particularly young men, boys. They like to challenge themselves. They got to test it. Who can touch it the longest? Mm-hmm. Now, we did that period of time.
Did a number on that.
We didn't really. At that time, we didn't realize it pulses electricity. Sometimes you touch it and there's nothing happened. Mm-hmm. You're feeling pretty good about that. You touch it the next time, you get slammed or whatever. But the funniest story I had was my next door neighbor, my good buddy there, had set up a brand new wire fence for their pigs. And it was about, a foot and a half off of the ground. Well, he was walking across it, and he knew it was there, but he didn't tell me it was there, and he wanted to see me get tangled up. Mm-hmm. So he thought that was going to be funny. So he steps over the wire and goes a couple more feet in, and I watched him turn around just to look at me, and I don't know what he's thinking about, but I was fixing to hit that wire. But before I hit the wire, he took a step back and stepped on a big old pine snake. Oh. Now, that pine snake was about 5 or 6 foot long. And the last thing I remember doing is seeing him over there with the pine snake all up between his legs, all around him. You know, looked like it was striking at him, but it was just all was over the place.
Away, wasn't it?
And he was screaming like he couldn't, like he had been shot.
Oh, yeah.
And then I just started laughing because it was the funnest thing I'd ever seen. A big old snake got on him, and he got so mad at that snake and grabbed him a stick and tried to chase it around. That was even funnier right there.
So he was fighting the electric fence and a snake all the same time.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
I don't believe in karma, but if I did, I'd say that would be an absolute truth to it.
That would be a true karma story. When we were talking about when we were kids, I had a cousin named Puddin. Well, his name wasn't Puddin, but we called him Puddin.
On his birth certificate, P-U-D-D-I-N apostrophe.
Well, somebody had nicknamed him Puddin, and that was, he wasn't raised on the farm like we were. We knew all the tricks, right? Well, Puddin was around one day, and of course, we was pushing him a little bit to touch the electric fence. You won't touch it. You won't touch it. And my daddy had told me, leave Puddin alone. Like, don't make him touch the fence. Stop aggravating him. And that really wasn't, that's really not what I wanted to do. You know, I needed to see him touch the fence. So I don't know if it was me or my brother. I'm going to blame it on my brother. But I think my brother finally convinced him that if he picked up a piece of grass that was green and touched it, it wouldn't shock him. Well, again, a bunch of boys, you ain't going to let a bunch of boys tell you you're a sissy, you know? I mean, you got to really do it. So we convinced him. He picked him up a big old long piece of grass. I don't know if it was ryegrass or whatever it was, but it was green. And he went over that fence and he looked back. I remember him looking back at me. Like, if you've lied to me,
oh yeah,
it's on, right? He touched that fence, and I'm talking about, he let out a yell like you ain't never heard. Mm-hmm. And he just laid down on the ground, started flopping, you know, really like he was a goner. And my daddy heard it and turn around and look, what did y'all do? What's happened to Puddin? And we scattered like quail. I mean, we knew what was coming. What are you talking about getting beat?
He wore
my tail end out for making Puddin touch the electric fence. I needed that. I'm certain I did.
But you know, you don't have to convince people. Maybe the better method is to try to get them to not touch the electric fence. Yeah, so that was my case. We were up there, great grandfather and uncle working on the electric fence by the pond. You know, got to keep the cows out of the pond. It was a fishing pond. It wasn't the drinking pond. And they were up there working on electric fence. Well, you know, I was bored. And when you're young and you're bored, what do? Find some trouble to get in. Well, they had told me, don't touch the electric fence. Don't touch the electric fence. And they had a wrench there. And I said, it just got the best of me. I thought, why do they not want me to touch this electric fence? There must be something good about it. So I was over there and they quit paying attention to me.
If you didn't know, Philip's really close kin to Eve. Just so you know, right?
No, okay.
So I was putting it close and nothing happened. And I looked at them and they weren't paying attention to me. And I said, I'm going to do it. I got to see what it, man, I had, you know, no rubber, no nothing on the wrench, just metal. As soon as I touched it, yep, that thing hit me and I just threw that wrench in the pond. I mean, it was the first, it was just like an immediate response. Whoop, and that thing splashed and both of them looked up at me and I was just sitting there going,
No words. Yeah,
they knew exactly what had happened.
Yeah,
and then the yelling commenced. I told you not to touch that fence. I was like, I know
you told me not to, but
that's just the way it is.
These fences are calling to you, aren't they? Calling to you to touch them.
Magnetic.
Will Rogers' thing about the electric fence was, some people learn by reading, some people learn by observation, and some people have to pee on the electric fence for themselves.
Oh, man. Fortunately, mine was my wrench incident was before I ever had that thought that I might want to, you know, relieve myself on an electric fence. And I knew if it hurt my hand that much, there was no sense in going any further. Yeah.
Don't want to take it any further.
That's enough.
Smarter than you look. Yeah.
Well,
no, I would say,
Well, maybe so.
Maybe I am.
I've never been convicted of being super intelligent, so maybe my looks perceive me.
That's why I said he's really close. He's closely related to Eve because I think Eve had that same thing. I mean, it got to be something good if he's telling me not to have any particularly this fruit. I got to be something good to it.
It's life on the farm. It's country rural. That's just what we do.
That's right.
Learn those lessons.
It should be noted, electric fences really won't hurt you. They just make you very uncomfortable for a brief second.
If you're in the market for a new house, I want to tell you about our latest sponsor, Vantage Plus. So they're general contractors. They specialize in new home construction, but also they do some dirt moving work. So clearing land, making roads. Y'all check them out. We'll make sure that we link the website and the phone number in the show notes.
I had an older friend that told the story. He had back, you know, 50s and 60s, we didn't really have trailers. Mm-hmm. They had stateside body trucks. And he had a big old bull he was going to sell. He couldn't get him in the truck, kind of like you were talking about. Mm-hmm. But he thought, well, you know, he'll come to a bucket of feed and I'll just go up in the truck and he'll follow me up in the truck and then I'll go over the cab. And so that's what he did. And sure enough, the bull ran up in the truck and somebody closed the tailgate and he went over the cab of the truck.
Oh, my goodness.
He said the next thing he heard was metal crunching and glass busting. The bull came right over the cab of the truck with
it. It just kept going. It stayed in drive. Oh, right. Man.
High dollar bull.
Yep.
That's how we did. That's Papa. It's so funny you said that because Papa Hayes, whenever he would take it, it was in a long wheel base. Half ton Chevrolet truck, and he had made wooden boards to put down in the holes that go in the bed, and that's how he hauled them.
That's the way my dad did, and we actually dug a pit. I had four brothers, and we all had to dig, and we dug a little pit to back that truck down so the tailgate was at dirt level, and he'd walk his cows up in there. We bought dairy calves. You could buy them back then for a couple of bucks and raised them.
A couple of bucks?
Yeah.
Like dollars, a couple of dollars?
Yeah.
For a cow?
For a calf, for a day or two old calf. I mean, and then we raised them. We bottle fed them and raised them and got them up to about 1,000 pounds and had them slaughtered, and that's what we ate.
How much? How much?
$2 cow.
Yeah.
Dude, that's fantastic. I mean,
they're not $2 anymore.
$20, $20. You keep in mind, this was the late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah. Boy, things have changed, haven't they?
Oh, really?
They have changed. Well, you know, one thing you got to remember about bulls, and that is you can never trust them. I don't care how long you've been around bulls, how long you've had them, whether you've pet on them, fed them by hand, it doesn't matter. You cannot trust a bull. And that's one thing we're careful of. We get out there around these animals, keep your eyes open because they can sneak up on you. I've had them do that to me. I'd be feeding hay and for a second quit paying attention. And all of a sudden, right beside me, something hit my arm and look back there and it'll be a 1,800, 2,000 pound bull. And they don't remember who you are all the time. I mean, they know. They know you. I shouldn't say that, but
they forget how big they are.
We had a bull that was loaf bread. Mm. He was like a puppy with loaf bread. If you had a loaf bread in your hand, he wanted it. And we would feed him and run out of loaf bread. I mean, you only got so many slices, you know, but he'd want the whole thing. Well, you'd turn around to walk out and he would just bump you. And it would feel like a Mack truck hit you when he just bump you, because there ain't no give in a 2,000 pound bull. Like when
they think it's funny to hit you with a hit.
Just
like
a little. But he would just bump you just with just the front of his head right there. Man, it would hurt.
It's like a wrecking ball.
It was just like a wrecking ball, just right in the back.
Yeah. Bulls have big old heads on them and they can do some damage.
And that's the other thing about a cow. You know, we can use, what is it, like 80% of our strength, like our true strength, you can use about 80%. Humans just can't use 100% of their power that they've got in their muscles. That's not the case for a bull. He can use 100% of his muscle capacity. Yeah. And when they decide they got to go, they're
not
going to
tell them otherwise. Mm-mm.
Yeah, they're built to survive. That's what they're interested in.
Bulls over at my place love to keep you from putting round bales of hay out on them. That is, you'll show up with the trailer and you go to roll a round bale off a trailer to throw it down out in the field. Mm-hmm. Well, no, they think it's fun to get underneath them before it goes off, yes. take their head and sling 1,000 pounds of hay back at you.
Yeah.
Like it was nothing.
Just with their neck.
Yeah, you can, just go out with their neck. You can go out with a roll of hay on a big tractor and they get to button that roll of hay and you feel it. You can feel them moving the tractor.
Are you in the market to buy or sell a home or a piece of land? The experienced team at White Real Estate is ready to partner with you. Darren and Rhiannon White, Ryan Love, and Lisa Sloan are one call or email away. As a homeowner who has received their help, I encourage you, give them a call today at the number included in the show notes.
If you've never seen two bulls get in a legit fight, you've never really witnessed. I mean, you know, a lot of people deer hunt or whatever. You've probably seen bucks fight. Yeah. And that's impressive. But like you said, 2,000 pounds of beef pushing one another around. Mm. My brother bought a Simmental bull and we had an Angus bull and they were both pretty calm. The Angus bull particularly, he was a pet. The Simmental bull, he was a little more aggressive than the Angus bull. That's just in their nature. Mm. We put them together. My brother, I kept telling him, I said, I don't think we need to put them together. He's like, man, we ain't got no option. We got to pull them off the cows. We only have one pasture to put them in. It was a rented pasture. And I told him, I said, well, I think we need to at least separate them from in the fences. He's like, well, we can do that. I think I agree with you there. We separated them in fences. Well, that we didn't know that there was a weak spot in that fence, in the cross fence. They found the weak spot.
Like you said.
And they began to fight amongst themselves.
I like the begins. That was good. I mean, you could come with something new today.
They began to fight. And when they started fighting, not only did the weak spot get tore down, but 30 feet more of 5-strand barbed wire fence got tore down. And the fella had a storage building of some sort, a cinder block storage building. They ran into the cinder block storage building, busted one of the walls down, and I'm just sitting there with my hands on my head like, this guy's going to – he's never going to let us get back on. He's going to kick us off this place, sure as the world. And he come out there. He thought it was fun. He was just dying laughing. And we're wide-eyed, like pale as it can be because these two – and you're not stopping them.
No.
You can holler. You can, until one of them decides they're going to give up, that's what it's going to take. You ain't stopping them. They tore the world up.
That's what they do. But
had one break a cross tie in half not too long ago in a catch pin.
No way.
Broke a Chris it right in half. Tie? Yeah.
Wow.
Railroad
but
tie.
Those bulls that we used to take care of our ladies, our cows, and such like that are a whole lot different than the bulls we see at the rodeo.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
At the rodeo, those are some big, you think they're mean. They're some of the toughest animals I've ever seen, to tell you the truth. I didn't realize how much it was until last year when we had our rodeo. And the contractor, a couple of days before when I went to visit one of his other rodeos, he said, I want you to watch this bull. Its name was Wehatke Tom Tom. In 4 years, it had never been ridden. He said, I'd
say
like
that
you
name
to
name again. Wehatke
Tom Tom. And he said, I want you to watch this bull. I said, okay, I'll sit there and watch it. No, come over here. He put me down right beside, crouched down beside the buck and shoot where they're going to release it. So I'm looking at this bull at, 8 or 9 feet.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, well, that's a pretty good sized bull. Well, they opened that gate. He came out of there like thunder. Mm-hmm. Cowboy went flying within 2 seconds. But then he bucked right over there. I would say he was about 1.5 feet from my face. And for a split second, we went eye to eye. And I knew who was boss. I knew who was in charge. And I was hoping that panel was strong enough to do its job. Mm-hmm. I'm like, goodness gracious, the power was incredible. And you better recognize that when you're out in the field with an animal.
Yeah, the animals in rodeos are performers. They're athletes.
Oh, man.
They are amazing animals.
They do that for a living, essentially.
That's right.
I had a buddy or a friend of ours that lives across the street here. You know, Miguel. He thought he was a cowboy one day. We had an old bull up here at the watering trough, and we couldn't ever get him caught. He was just smart. He wasn't wild. He was just smart. You know, you'd set him up and he'd say, nah, I'm not going that way. And he just kind of sidestepped the gate he was supposed to go in. And we had to get him moved. And me, I said, I can get him. I said, man, Stacy, his real name's Stacy. But I said, Stacy, I don't think you need to mess with him. Well, I was gone one day. My brother sends me a video. The bull had gotten up to the water trough and Stacy crawls up, sneaks up with a rope.
Okay.
He just tosses the rope around that bull's head. Well, again, the bull was not wild. He was just slippery. Stacy cinches down on it. About the time he yanks on it, that bull says, I got somewhere else to be. And he turns, and in the video, you see he's skiing behind that bull.
Good grief, man.
The bull's going the other way, and Stacy's coming with him. And I said, hey, he thought he was a cowboy that day, buddy, but he learned real fast that he was not going to hold that bull in one spot.
I just hope that he didn't think that he was.
No, he 1,000% thought he was. No. This is, yes, I guarantee you, if you were to interview him today, which we need to one day, get him on the show.
He would be a good one.
And he would tell you he for sure thought that he could hold that bull in place.
That's a tug of war you're never going to win.
No, you're not going to win.
You can barely hold a 300-pound calf in place.
Yes.
That's true.
That's right.
Well, now you guys are, so we've talked about cows, we've talked about farming. So you guys are with the Jefferson County Cattlemen's Association. So tell everybody a little bit about your organization.
Well, the Jefferson County Cattlemen's Association is an affiliate to the Alabama Cattlemen's Association. That association is about 10,000 strong here in the state of Alabama. We're one of the largest associations, and we promote cattle and beef around the state. We do other things as well. We promote our community. We promote education. We do a lot of things that are service related that we believe are important to our community. And Jim has been involved probably longer than I have with the cattlemen. He may have a few words to say.
Well, you know, personally, I had a little thing. They wrote a book about the Cattlemen's Association. I guess, you know, farmers get bored, so they write a book about the Cattlemen's Association.
I didn't know they got bored.
Yeah, but it's kind of interesting. I was reading this book, and it started talking about the Jefferson County Cattlemen's Association. It was founded and incorporated in 1953, the year I was born. So I thought, well, that's interesting. I read on, and I'm leasing land from a guy next to my place. And it turns out his dad was the first president of Jefferson County. So I carried the book to him. And I, you know,
what's the name of the book?
Winning Isn't Everything.
Okay.
But it's, you know, there are other books by that title, by the way. But
make sure this is
the book. Yeah. But anyway, I take it to this guy and I showed him. I said, you know, your dad was the first president of the Cattlemen Association. I didn't know that. He said, man, I didn't know that either. And he was in tears. Huh. His dad's long since passed. So it's kind of, you know, it kind of taught me real quick what this means to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so we enjoy it. We get a kick out of it. And this rodeo thing is just taking it to a whole nother level.
Well, that's what we want to talk about. So last year was the first rodeo you guys had put on.
Absolutely.
So I got to go. It was a great
event. It really was our first rodeo.
Not just figuratively speaking. So tell me about that last year. So you blood, sweat, and tears are in this thing. And just take me back to that when it all come to a head there.
It came to a head the opening night, and we're sitting there, and we've been working our rear ends off, and we have some wonderful volunteers. We have some excellent sponsors who all stepped up to help to make this work. So don't think one or two people. There's a community here, but you're sitting there and you're not sure who's going to show up, if anyone.
Yeah.
And you watch that row down in front of you. And over time, I remember last year sitting up on the hill and watching as the time got close and the car started coming. Mm. And it reminded me of that movie, Field of Dreams. Remember the very end of that movie where they turn on the lights and people start coming down the road and you see a big old long line? looked just like it.
Line of cars.
Line of cars coming. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yep.
Here they come.
Now it's what are we real. Doing?
it's real.
The work starts.
That's right.
And we gotta move with it, no doubt about it. And more came, and it was just the most wonderful feeling to see all those folks coming out to enjoy a rodeo. Now, you know, there hadn't been a lot of rodeos in our area over the last few years, and we wanted to put on a good one. And I think we were successful in doing that. But I'll never forget that the rest of my life, watching all those folks come up through there. You know, we had our own exit right off the highway, so it was easy for folks to come on through.
It's like your personal exit.
We got them set up in their parking and such, and we did. Our people did such a good job that coming in when everybody thought they were going to be sitting around for a while, we had the parking lot cleared in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, there won't be a more accessible rodeo you've ever been to.
No.
Yeah. Right off I-65, exit 280, you can drive right into it.
You get off and drive into the rodeo. Yeah. There you are.
Hallmark Farms, beautiful historic farm. Everybody's just about, if you've come down 65 South, you kind of remember it. It's so beautiful. So the dates are April 26th and 27th. Parking starts at 6.
At 6.
Show at 7.
Right. Show's at 7. And we're telling folks, come early.
You better.
Because we're gonna start actually a little pre-show with that first mutton busting. So come on early. There's plenty of food to eat. There's plenty of things to drink out there. And just might, you know, we did pretty well last year. In fact, we won an award for the top new outdoor rodeo in the Southeast.
Right here.
We would like to tell you folks that we rodeo rain or shine. So
if it's raining, put your raincoat on.
That just
come
makes
on.
It more fun.
I can guarantee you, boy, it does. You've given us a lot of great stories, great information about something that's near and dear, whether you know it or not. We appreciate it, and we wish you all the best on the rodeo. Certainly.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. Nights. Enjoyed it.
We look forward to seeing everyone there.
Appreciate your interest.
Well, this is the Hayden Outbound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Jim.
We'll see you next time.